station. Props, outstanding content. But when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the most popular morning show anywhere on the internet. You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, right here on LA Talk Radio. If you'd like to take part in the show today, give us a call at 323-203-0815. And now your program hosts, Sam and Mia.
Good morning and welcome to the show. It's Thursday, October 17th.
Yeah.
We're back. You're looking awake and everything. That's good.
Somehow. I don't know. I don't know how I'm looking awake today.
No, you didn't get a good night's sleep.
I mean, I did once I finally got to sleep. Once we bring our guest in, you know, we'll explain more about the reasoning for that. But
okay.
So. Oh, no. It's not. Oh, my gosh. I think people's minds are going to be in the gutter right now. Oh, all right. Okay. Never mind. Scratch that.
we'll explain it later.
We will. We definitely have to explain now. Everyone's going to be like, Mia, what is going on, girl?
Yeah.
Like, okay. Anyways. How are you doing, Sam?
I'm doing well. Second day that I got up with my new routine, and I'm feeling very good.
That's right.
Yeah. So
coffee and internet first.
Yes.
And then shaving and showering.
Exactly. You got that right. So
I got your routine down, Sam.
You got it. You got it. You know, I mean, and I can't believe it because all my life I used to do it the other way.
Yeah. But it's just sometimes, you know, change is good.
It is good. I mean, it never occurred to me that, you know, shaving 2 minutes after you wake up is not a great idea, you know?
Yeah, you might have
too much concentration.
Missing patches here and there.
Yeah,
what's going on with that? Sorry, I shaved when I first woke up.
Yeah, and that's if you can keep your eyes open, you know.
Like, dude, what happened to your hair? I went a little too high with the razor today.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Nice haircut.
Yeah. You know, how long does it take you to get up in the morning from the moment you get up until you leave?
It depends. Like, if we have call-ins, it's like 2 seconds. I, like, you know, roll up in my PJs, you know, with like my hair up in a clip, you know.
So you sleep to the last minute?
Yeah, usually. But, you know, if we have a guest in the studio, then, like, see, usually what I try to do, because what takes most of the time for me is my wardrobe.
Oh, really?
You know, so I try to, like, pick that out the night before. So it's all, like, there and ready. So I could just, like, you know, on and go in case I'm in a rush.
Yeah.
But, yeah, because that just takes time. If you wake up in the morning, you're like, what shall I wear? I mean, there's nothing worse than, like, when you you're, like, down to the wire. Like, the clock is running and you have to go and you don't have any clothes on yet. And you're like, oh, my gosh, this doesn't go. Oh, shoot, this doesn't work. I have to change. Oh, no, this doesn't work. I have to change. It's, like, the worst, like, panicky feeling ever.
Oh, wow.
Because I'm not, you know, I mean, I try to, you know, put myself together well. But I'm not very, like, you know, like, super, like, fashion savvy. Like, for some people, it's easy. They can make these awesome combinations with jewelry and everything, and then it just works.
Okay.
Like, all right, cool, but I have to really think about it.
Okay.
Like, is this fashion savvy?
You have to do it the night before. Otherwise, it's, like, too much work for the morning,
yeah, and
right?
See, it's too much to think about. Like, my brain is too tired. I don't want to have to try to think so hard about what matches here.
Right. Exactly. So you got to do it the night before. I mean, I've considered actually shaving the night before, but forget about that. I mean, I'm too tired. Last night I went to sleep at 2:45, man.
Oh,
don't ask me how I'm awake, but that's what I'm saying. I think my new routine is actually helping. So,
good.
Yeah. So I think somebody will take something from that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's cool.
You know what you're doing.
Yeah. Exactly. I know what the hell I'm doing, man.
Yeah, see, I don't drink coffee or anything. So you don't, some people are like, how do you survive?
Right.
But I don't know. I just never did. I never really feel like I ever really had to. It's like once eventually, like once I'm up, then I'm up, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, it's not really like the best habit to get into. You know, I feel like a lot of people pick it up later in life. Like, I don't really remember my mom, like as a kid, I don't really remember my mom like making coffee. I mean, our coffee pot machine thing was like, you know, from like 50 decades ago. I mean, really? Like legit, it's like when I was a kid, you know, it was like super, super old. Like we never used it. You know, nobody ever drank coffee.
Oh,
but
I
now
see.
My mom drinks coffee every day.
Really?
Like every morning, you know, she has coffee before she goes to work.
Yeah, that's
so it's
very
like maybe it's like a habit that some people pick up later in life. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe so, yeah. But I know my mom's kept us drinking coffee from as far back as I remember, you know.
Oh, wow. So you've always
drank
coffee.
Yeah, I've always drunk coffee, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, I mean, coffee is good. The most I have is one in the morning and maybe one in the evening. That's about it. Some people can have like 5 cups in a row, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know how they do that.
It's frightening.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Just like people that can drink like 6 packs at a time of beer, you know, I mean. My God.
Like,
you
don't
know?
You feel like full? Like beer is like filling. Like I always feel so heavy. I'm like, ugh.
I know. And some people just, you know, they drink all the time. So they're immune and they can drink a lot.
I guess so. Right? That's also frightening.
Well, you build a tolerance for everything. You know, it just depends on what what your poison is, I guess.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
Because technically, you know, caffeine is like a kind of like a drug in a way.
Yes.
So.
It definitely is. Definitely is. That's why a lot of people drink it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, a lot of things we take are drugs, definitely. But.
A lot of things we take are drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
They are, you know. We just don't think about it too much. But, yeah, we're a drug-happy society, I think.
Yeah. Pharmaceuticals are definitely.
If you count all the alcohol. Yeah, and not just the legal drugs, but the illegal drugs as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people just love to alter their minds, you know. So I can relate.
Alter your mind.
Yeah. So who are the Bears playing this weekend?
This weekend is... No, it's not week 8. I keep, like, counting for, like, week 8. I'm like, oh, is it going to be our bye week? You know, I don't even know. I'm so, like, screwed up because we played on Thursday. So we had already had our game from like last week. So I'm like, oh yeah, whatever. You know.
Yeah. But you don't know who's upcoming this weekend.
We're off this, you know, Sunday. But no, I don't usually check that till like the night before. Like I said, like I try not to be all about football during the week.
Uh-huh.
That's why I can't do fantasy because it will run my life. Because that's the problem. I'll be like, okay, let's see who are my Bears playing. Oh, that's cool. Let's see who the Ravens are playing. Oh, let's see who the Packers are playing. I hope whoever it is that they beat them. And and then before you know it, people are like, you have been on your phone for like ever. What are you doing? I'm like, sorry. It's like I get like sucked into it.
Yeah.
Like once I get like a little bit of a tip off that I'm like, ah, and it like becomes my life.
Yeah.
People are like, yo, chill. And then it's like on my mind. So I try to make like just like my weekend and like.
Right.
You know, beginning of my, you know, my week about football.
So you keep your enthusiasm, controlled. You don't kind of go crazy with it all week.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
And that's why, like, you know, with the whole fantasy thing, then I'll be thinking like, oh, you know, who should I start? Yeah. Should I try to like, you know, trade this over, or do this or do that? And it's like, it would absolutely consume my life. It's like I'm crazy enough as it is.
Yeah.
Like, on the weekends, you know, and Sundays or Thursdays or Mondays, you know, when, you know, we actually have the the game, but it's like, ugh. But yeah, I think we actually play the Packers. I want to say that's like that might be a Monday night game. Mm. I gotta see when that is, cause that's a big game.
That's a rival.
Cause we're like huge rivals. I hate the Packers so much. Anyway, see what I mean? Like you brought it up, and now I've just like gone off on this like random tangent. My mind is just wandering, like, football.
I know, but it's crazy when people hate rival teams. I mean, come on, it's just football, you know?
And
you have to wonder why
football.
You don't like them, because they beat your team, you know?
Not always.
No, not always, but that's the point. I mean, otherwise, why don't you hate other teams? Because they're not a threat, you know? So, I mean, I'm not just saying you in general. I mean, not you specifically, but I just in general, because most people hate their rival teams.
Yeah.
Know? So, yeah, that happens. Yeah.
And it's not, like, it's very interesting how, you know, even just a lot of teams, like, just how it fluctuates. Like, you could be, like, the number one team of all time. Like, oh, my gosh, they're so amazing, this and that.
Right.
And then, you know, within, like, you know, give or take, like, a few, like, years or so,
right.
They could be, like, the bottom of the barrel, like, shittiest team ever.
Right. And vice versa, too. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen that happen.
Oh, for sure. And then I'm happy because I'm always like, oh, yay, cool, underdog. Go underdogs. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm always rooting for the underdog.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's, you know, kind of been my thing. The best was when, you know, when I moved here and I'm like, oh, you know, I'm going to be a Clippers fan because they're the underdog. Everybody likes the Lakers.
Yeah.
Like, whatever. I'm not going to like the Lakers. Just because everybody likes the Lakers, I'm going to like the Clippers.
Yeah.
And everybody laughed at me. Everybody made fun of me. And now it's like, oh, boom. What? Like, Clippers, like, kill the Lakers.
Oh,
like,
really?
Last season. Yeah, it was ridiculous. Oh, wow. It was amazing.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, okay, who's laughing now?
There you go. You should have put up bets and stuff, you know?
I can't do that. I don't know why. I don't bet.
Yeah, I know. I don't
either,
man.
Especially with, you know, sports.
Right. No, I don't blame you. So you don't gamble when you go to Vegas?
Nope.
Yeah.
Not at all. The only time I've ever gambled was when I was actually on a cruise, but technically, like, where we were, I was legal. Like, you know, they, like, checked my ID and they're like, oh, yeah, you're legal in this area, wherever we were on the cruise. Like, you're legal here to gamble in the casino.
Right.
So I was like, all right, cool. So I did, like, the little slot machines, pulled the lever, pressed the buttons. I'm like,
yeah,
all right, I'm done.
That's not a big deal, yeah.
That was the extent of my gambling. I was just doing it, you know, just to say I'm, you know, doing it. But see, now you've got it like on my mind. Now, like, I have to know what's going on.
Where?
With my football. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Ironically enough, the Redskins. I know we were talking about that before.
Right.
The whole controversy with the name.
Right.
Yeah.
What about it?
That's who we're playing.
Oh, okay. You're
the Washington
Redskins.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that should be a good game.
Yeah.
They've always been a strong team, Washington.
Yeah, getting some of that RG3.
Yeah.
Robert Griffin
III.
Yeah,
I've heard of him. I don't know who the hell he is.
Just in case. Y'all don't know what RG3 means.
Everybody with those weird names, you know.
Bad from when we got injured last season, man. That was tough. They were, you know, doing their thing, and, you know, they've kind of been one of those teams that hasn't been in the spotlight much lately. And, you know, and then he got injured, and it was like, oh, man, I kind of felt bad.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that should be interesting. Well, no, I shouldn't be feeling bad. I should be like, no, meh, Redskins, I hate you. We're going to beat you, meh.
Yeah,
but,
meh.
I know. Okay. Either way, should be a good game. You'll know on Monday whether it was or not.
I guess I will.
A happy camper or a very disgruntledly sad human being.
Yeah. I guess, yeah, that's true, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, we have a special guest in the studio that Mia invited to the show, so go ahead and introduce him to us.
Okay, we have RockShock/Alejandro/Rocky/Rick/... He has many names. It's an inside joke. I thought that was a pretty good opener, but hey, what's up? Say hi.
What's up?
Hi, welcome to the show.
It was a late night.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
So, the first name is RockShock.
Yes.
And that's an easy name to remember. I mean, you know, it's cool. And I like different names, you know. I mean, I have a unique nickname, too, which is Mooly, you know. And people, that's what
Mooly?
People... Mooly? Yeah.
I wondered what that was. Like, I'm like, when I like the email things, like, it says, like, Mooly. And I'm thinking, what is that? But I'm like, whatever. I never really thought to ask you. But now I know.
What emails are those? I don't send emails with movies.
It's on their calendar thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. The Gmail thing.
Yeah,
okay,
and I'm like, what's the movie? What is that?
Yeah, that's what's so up funny. With that?
I never... Okay, well, I guess now I know. That explains it.
Now you know, yeah. It somehow got from Samuel to Mooli. I mean, you can see the M and the L.
Oh,
you know?
I get
and
that. Okay.
Yeah, in Israel, it's like that. So that's how it came about.
Oh,
but
cute.
Yeah, so Rakshak, you were describing how when you came from India, you were thinking of getting an American name so it'll be easier for people to pronounce.
Yeah, because I came from India and I was like, people won't be able to pronounce my name like Rakshak.
Right.
It's too many letters for them. A lot of tongue twisters. So I went for the easiest, like, four-letter name, like Rick. And while I was in college, everybody used to call me Rick.
Really?
Yeah.
So why did they stop? I mean, do you still go by Rick?
Some people still call me Rick because they know me as Rick.
Right.
So, and some people know me as Rocky.
Oh, wow.
So they call me Rocky. And, that's where I stopped. I was like, that's it.
I know, too many names.
Too many names. Yeah. Let me just go back to my original name, Rakshak.
Exactly. You know?
But people still call me Rick and Rocky.
Yeah.
Who know me as that.
Yeah, well, I mean, people have nicknames and stuff, you know. So, me, I can't have a nickname because it's too short anyway. I mean, Mia, it's like, what's a nickname for that?
M. I know, there really
maybe,
isn't.
Maybe just make it like one letter.
Or some people will be like, oh, Mamma Mia. It's like, oh, yeah, haven't heard that one before. Way to go. Clever guy.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how long ago did you come from India?
Well, I've been in America for 5.5 years.
5.5 years.
Close to 6 years. Like next year will be 6 years.
Wow. And where in India are you from?
I'm from Bombay, Mumbai.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's
yeah,
a city
it's Mumbai
where
now, right?
Yeah, it's a city where Bollywood is located.
So, right.
Yeah.
So that what is that like the second largest city or?
Mumbai, it's actually one of the largest city in population wise.
Right.
Like it has the maximum number of population.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The highest population in India.
At least in a city wise.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's amazing. So you came from a big city. I've just been reading about India because I read about traffic and driving and stuff. I think I told you about it. So it's very interesting. So they cover traffic like around the world, and they talk about India and how the traffic there is so like dense and everything. And yet, you know, I mean, people go in all different directions with like different modes of transportation.
Oh yeah, because we have like rickshaws.
Exactly.
We have people going in bikes and cycles.
Right.
We have people in cars, trucks,
scooters,
vans.
Yeah, exactly.
The best part, there are no lanes.
Right.
So here you have lanes.
Exactly.
Over there, people create their own lanes.
That's right.
So you can take a left whenever you want. You can take a right whenever you want. You know, it's like you can make a 5-lane highway or a 5-lane road into a 10-lane.
That's true.
As long as you just go wherever you find space, just take a car there.
Yeah. No, that's true, though. That's what I was reading, you know. And somehow it works, you know. Somehow the traffic flows there. And it's amazing. So, but I did hear that, you know, sometimes if there's a cow on the road, it causes, like, traffic problems and stuff, right?
They won't move. I mean, we'll wait till the cow moves, and then we go ahead and drive a car.
Can you honk?
Nobody can, like, shoo it along. Like, go on, shoo. Go that way.
Can you honk to it, or...
I mean, they won't listen. They'll only listen to grass. So if you like gather like a bunch of grass and like,
that's true. Get out of the car.
Get some food for them, then maybe they'll move.
Can you imagine the cow in the middle of the intersection and the whole traffic?
Oh my god.
Oh god. Man.
And like cow is like a holy animal in
exactly.
India. Like they pray to the cow.
Right.
Like here we slaughter them and eat them.
Right.
And sell them in McDonald's.
Sacred, right.
But yeah, over there it's like they're sacred out there.
Wow.
Like here it's like, oh man, there's traffic. Oh, must be a car accident. Over there it's like, oh man, there's traffic. Oh, probably a cow.
Yeah. We don't know how long.
Really bad traffic. Probably two cows.
Wow, that's funny. So, did you always dream of coming to America when you were young?
Yes, I did. When I was back home in India, I was an actor. I started off modeling out there.
Oh, really?
And I did acting out there. I did a big television show out there.
What age did you start? Were you pretty young?
Like modeling, I started at 18 or 19.
Oh, I see. Okay. So you already knew what you were doing. It's not like your parents threw you into it.
No. My parents didn't actually support this career because in India, it's like if you're from India, you have to like do something which like legitimate. Like you're talking about like be a doctor, engineer,
lawyer,
MBA, like anything to do with education. Like just go and study something and then, you know, be a professional.
Right.
So when
but that's why a lot of people are smart in India, you know, because of that, I think. You know, there's a lot of requirements. And many countries in the world are like that, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, go
that's
on.
That's very true.
Yeah, so, like, my parents wanted me to be a software programmer.
Oh, really?
I got into software, like, right in the beginning because at that time it was just booming and everybody was coming to America.
Right.
So me and my sister, okay, dumb as we are, I mean, not dumb, I mean, but we're not as smart to be software programmers.
Right.
We got into software programming just because we wanted to come to America.
Wow.
And it was ridiculous. We were like sitting.
So both of you, huh?
Yeah, both of us.
Wow.
We took so many computer classes and then we got a job in a software company. And I just remember sitting in front of a computer and not knowing what to do.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. What a terrible.
The people who hired me realized that this guy, we hired him because he talks well, but when it comes to it, I mean, this guy's just sitting on his computer and he's not doing anything.
Wow.
So I think after a month, they're like, okay, bye-bye.
Wow. I mean, how did you feel about it, about going there and not being able to do anything?
Yeah, I mean, but it's that, like, you know, when you start off young, you don't know exactly what you want to do.
Right.
And you find your niche later on in life that, oh, you're good at this, you should be doing this, or you have a talent for this, or you like this. At that moment, I was lost.
Yeah.
I was totally lost. I really didn't know what to do.
And you didn't like it either, did you?
I mean, hated it.
Yeah, because it was forced on you.
It was a force. It was my decision, actually. I mean, but it was a stupid decision.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, hey, it got you to America.
Know. Yeah, and besides, you've got the skills now if you ever want to get into it. But you're a creative type. You're an artistic type, right? I mean, you like acting and stuff.
I'm into acting. I like producing. So, and I also do nightclub promotions out here, which I recently started off. I don't know how I got into it, but it's a crazy field.
Really?
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about that. What do you do with nightclub promotions?
Well, nightclub promotion is a very tricky field. It's nightclubs, okay, to make it look really good, you need to get the really good crowd out there.
Right.
So as a promoter, you have to get like really beautiful looking people, mostly girls. Maybe some guys.
Yeah. Who needs guys, you know?
Oh, no, you'll be surprised. Some clubs, they'll be like, oh, we have too many girls. Get some good-looking guys.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I guess for the girls, huh? Yeah.
So you get these good-looking girls. I don't know where you... Like, for a promoter, I don't know where you find them.
Uh-huh.
So you got to find them everywhere. You have to go to, like, on Facebook. You have to go out every night. Go to different clubs. Go to different, bars. Whatever. Go to a party. Meet, like... So talk to all the beautiful girls, get their numbers, and
then
invite them
to
the club.
Really? Invite them to the club and stuff.
Yeah. And that's how we get hired as promoters. That's
so it's like almost like finding people one at a time to bring them to the club. I mean, that seems like a lot of work.
Oh, yeah. It is a lot of work.
Right?
Yeah. And it's like, especially in Los Angeles, everybody's flaky.
Right.
So if you want like 15 girls, 15 really good looking girls to come out, you have to contact at least 150 to 200.
Oh, my God. My God. Wow. How do you fight 200 people? Wow.
200 people? No, 200 girls.
Yeah, 200 girls. Yeah, that's even harder. Wow. And pretty ones, too.
Yeah, and pretty ones.
Wow. Well, at least it sounds like a pleasant job. I mean, you're dealing with beautiful women and stuff. So, how did you get into that?
Well, I had an ex-girlfriend. And we used to date. I mean, we used to go to bars a lot. And she used to drink a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I used to drink a lot also with her.
Yeah.
So we used to go out like 3 times a week to different bars. And normally you get like 1 drink. But she always liked 2 or 3 drinks.
Yeah.
So I had to keep up with her. So I'd be like 3 drinks she'll have. And then I'll have 3 drinks. So by the end of the night, I've spent like a certain decent amount of money on just alcohol.
Just the drinks.
So that multiplied into 3 or 4 days.
Right.
It's a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
Multiplied into weeks, into months, 6 months, you've spent a few $1,000s on just alcohol. And I was talking to a friend of mine and I was cribbing to him. And I was like, damn, man, I could have gone for a holiday. Yeah. I could have bought myself anything. I could have done anything. I would have bought a diamond ring for her for that much amount of money I spent on alcohol. He's like, this friend of mine is like, you're stupid, man. I don't know why you do that. You need to know. I've never paid for alcohol. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, you have to go with the promoter. So that's when he introduced me to a promoter. And I was like, promoters have their own table. They all have their own alcohol the club provides with them. And they give free drinks to all their friends.
Wow.
And I started doing that for a little bit. And
so you did it for the alcohol.
Exactly. Wow. You save money on alcohol.
Don't
yeah.
figure.
You make some smart decisions in your life. Let me tell you. Go on.
Yeah, so I started going with these guys and they went to all the best clubs. You get free entry. You don't have a problem entering the club. The promoters just like take you in. And yeah, you sit on a table and
nice.
Feed you with alcohol. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I started doing
that.
Yeah,
if you're in the mood for partying and all that, that's a great job to have.
Yeah,
know?
I know.
Yeah. Sounds good. So now, so you started modeling at an early age, at 18 and stuff. I mean, is that a pretty big industry in India?
Modeling is a big industry, but bigger industry out there is the film industry.
Uh-huh.
Because Bollywood makes the maximum number of movies in the world.
Right.
More than
they make 800, a lot, right?
Yeah, they make like 800 to 900 movies
wow.
a year.
A year, huh?
Oh
yeah.
My gosh.
And so there's a television is a big industry out there. Film industry is a very big industry out there.
Right.
We make a lot of movies. So yeah, it's a huge film industry, but it's the language out there spoken is not English. I mean, everybody speaks English out there.
Right.
Like, that's where whenever I come to America, they're like, oh, your English is so good.
Right.
Oh, how come it's so good? Because everybody speaks in English out there.
That's
not like
true.
Other countries. Like, whenever I meet somebody from like, say, France,
well,
or
no,
from
the
any
French
part of
hate us. Yeah,
yeah, or Europe, or Europe, any part, their English is not that good, you know.
Right.
Or even Russia, you know, they'll be like, the English is not that good. But we, in back home in India, we speak a lot of English. I think.
Right. Yeah.
Because in every school, every public school or private school, we all are taught English as a
right.
first language.
Exactly. Oh, as a first language.
Yeah, as a first language.
Wow, that's.
So there's no choice. You have to learn English.
Right.
The second language, you have a choice. You can maybe learn, say.
French or
yeah. Spanish
German,
or anything
yeah.
else. Yeah, German
yeah.
or something.
Yeah, that's the wow. thing. I mean, Europeans are really, like, proud of their heritage, you know, so they each holds on to their own languages and stuff, you know. So, you know, the Germans insist on speaking German and stuff, you know. And it makes sense, you know. I mean, the thing is that the world started speaking English when America became, like, you know, big in the world, you know, and then like after World War One or something, because French used to be the international language for many years, you know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I think English is a universal language because I think England, like, slaughtered the whole, I mean, sorry, they were all over the world, you know.
No, that's true.
I mean, they controlled India for 200 years.
That's true.
They ruled India for 200 years.
Right.
So obviously there'll
they
be some
the
people out there.
World.
There'll be some people who speak English out there, and that's how it spread.
Right. That definitely that way, you know, but I think with America also, we have so much influence on the world that everybody wants to learn American English and listen to American music and wear American clothes and stuff. So, yeah, you know, I mean.
Oh, yes, for sure. In India, we used to watch Baywatch all the time.
Right.
Like Baywatch and Beverly Hills 90210. Oh,
right.
My God. Every Saturday, wherever you are,
right.
whether you're any part of the country, Saturday you have to tune and watch Baywatch.
Right.
And Beverly Hills 90210.
Yeah, well, I'm not surprised. You know, I mean, because people want to know what's going on in Hollywood and LA and stuff like that.
Yeah, because,
you know?
See, in India, everybody is like, has. Their skin is like darker. We have
right.
like we're brunettes out there, but we don't have blondes out there, and we don't
right.
have white skin out there. I mean, we have people who have fairer skin,
right?
But it's like
but not Caucasians.
Yeah,
I mean,
not Caucasians.
Right.
So
yeah. you're attracted to
yeah,
them.
Yeah. So whenever we see those movies, like Hollywood movies, like American Pie or any of those Hollywood movies, we see blondes, we get fascinated. And
yeah.
I think half of the people who come out here is like.
They look for blondes.
They're looking for blondes, yeah.
And the blondes look for the darker guys.
Yeah, exactly.
So it works out well, you know. Wow. And so you were doing modeling there for a while, then you started acting. Like, in what capacity? I mean, did you start in film right away?
No, I started
TV
off in television.
Yeah.
I did a big television show out there called, I don't know whether you can pronounce this, it's in Hindi.
Okay.
It's called Kavyanjali.
Kavyanjali.
Yeah,
Kavyanjali. That's not hard. Okay.
So it was a big primetime television show where I played the main lead. I played Kavya. And it was in my language. It was in Hindi.
Okay.
It's a national language out there.
Right.
And it was for a channel called Star Plus, primetime 9:30, and it was like a love story.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I did that for like a few months.
And how old were you at the time? Like
25.
25, oh, yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I did that, and I did that for a few months, but it was hectic. It was totally crazy because the Indian film and the television industry, it's you're shooting back to back. There's no, like, in America, if you shoot a television show, they shoot it like in advance. They're like the season, the shooting seasons. So they shoot it like a few months in advance, tape it, and then the actor is like off, and it just plays on the air.
Okay.
In India, if you're shooting a television show, if it's going to air the next day, you're shooting it the day before.
Really?
Yeah. So really, and it's, if it's like a daily soap, so it's like airing like five times a week.
Right.
You're working day and night, 24/7, because you have like, and especially if you're main lead, you're like, if there are 25 scenes to be shot in a day, you are in 20 scenes.
Wow.
So just imagine. It's like I was nonstop working in a television show for like, I had not slept for 3 days. I was like slept in my makeup van for 3 days, I think.
Oh my God.
And I reached a stage at a point where I couldn't even memorize my lines anymore because I had not slept.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like delirious after a while.
Yeah, it is it's the Indian television industry, it's a very harsh television industry.
Yeah.
But yeah. If you're up to it, you can do it. Yeah.
It sounds like a lot of things are like harsher there than they are here, right? I mean, there's less than, I mean, people don't have like silk gloves on. They just take off the gloves and people are like real and honest and straightforward, right?
Yeah, mostly.
Yeah. So you don't see a lot of like the politeness and things like that, right?
No, because there's
so many people. And you can tell by the traffic as well. You know, everybody's out for their own, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, for themselves.
Well, and the cows.
Yeah, and the cows. So you worked as an actor for a while, and so then what? You decided you're gonna move to Hollywood?
I always wanted to come to Hollywood. Of course, software programming didn't work.
Right.
So, and I was like, at that time I had a girlfriend out there, and she used to fly for an airline. She used to fly for an international Indian airline called Jet Airways.
Okay.
Which I also worked at. I mean, I was a flight steward for 2 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
When I started off, I mean, like, because when I started off modeling, I asked my mom to like give me some money to make a headshot. And she was like, go to hell. You left software programming to get into modeling, which is such an unpredictable like career. I'm not going to support you. Go to hell. Go get it yourself.
Wow.
That's when I was flipping through the tabloids or the newspapers, and they were like, oh, if you can speak English and if you're like, if you've had this minimum level of education and if you look good, come for this interview. And I was like, oh wow, I'm overqualified. And that's when I went for it and I got hired, and they had like 500-600 people interviewing for the for being a flight steward, and I got it. And I flew all over India, and I came to America that time also.
Yeah.
And
so that's how you met the girlfriend?
Yeah, I met her. I met her in while I was flying. And she also wanted to come to America because she thought like me. She always wanted to come to America. And I also wanted to come to America. And finally, after a few years, because we were dating for a few years, we decided to like pack our bags and just come here.
Oh, really?
And that's what we did. We just packed our bags, saved some money, and just came here.
Wow.
It was crazy. We started staying in a hotel out here.
Yeah.
And we didn't know like what's going to happen next. Like I had in my mind that I thought that I'll just come here. I'll get an agent. I'll get my actor's visa. I'll get a big role and I'll be set.
Right.
But as soon as I came here, I was like, oh my God. Okay. I got to pay for the hotel. I got to get a car. I got to get this.
Exactly.
So yeah, it takes time out here. Yeah.
Yeah. Time
it's
and money.
It's not that
money,
easy.
Yeah.
I know. So, but you've managed to settle down here for
the past
5 years.
Past 5 years, I realized how the industry works.
Right.
And I did a short film out here called You Can't Curry Love. And it's on YouTube.
Oh,
and it's got 2 million hits.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Nice.
You must be proud. How does something like that get so popular? Viral
it's basically, it's an Indian-themed gay love story.
Okay.
Yeah. So right. It's very different. Uh-huh. And I think people just love it, you know?
Yeah.
And it just spreads. It just keeps on spreading. People like it, and all over the world, they're just watching it, you know?
Wow. That's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. So, wow, YouTube. I mean, 2 million hits. That's a lot, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. If they just, I can't imagine if they just paid $1 for watching it, and yeah. if I was getting all the money, I would get $2 million.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But those such luck, right?
Nice.
But I mean, doesn't YouTube though pay for a certain amount if you go
yes,
over a certain
yes, yes.
amount?
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, but of course that goes to the producers. So I'm not the producer.
Okay.
Of
right.
The, I just acted in it.
Right.
I was again the main lead in it. So yeah.
Yeah. Nice. So, are you still with that girlfriend? I mean, you referred to her in the past.
Oh, yes. No, I'm not with her.
You're not with her anymore.
No, so, I moved on. I moved on from... She was my first Indian girlfriend. After that, I came here. Of course, America is filled with all nationalities.
Right. And so blondes.
My, so, yeah. Sorry. No, but I never had a blonde girlfriend. That's in my agenda. But my second girlfriend was... from Mexico.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So, he was from Monterrey. Uh-huh. Really beautiful looking girl. Really uh-huh. beautiful looking girl.
Wow.
Yeah. And my third one was American Chinese.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, you like international flavors and stuff.
Yeah, kind of.
You still need the blonde one, though.
Flavors. I don't call them flavors. International beauty, maybe.
So... Well, you know what
yeah,
I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know flavors.
It doesn't mean. Yeah, it doesn't mean I'm putting anybody down. Here. Relax. you just want to sample different.
No, I think LA is a melting pot. So it's like they got people from all over the world.
Yeah.
So if you've not, if you've come here and if you're not dated, like. 5 different nationalities.
Right.
And something's wrong with you.
I know. Because a lot of people don't travel. They might as well connect with people from other countries.
Yeah,
and stuff,
it's funny because I even find even people like, you know, back home, it's a little bit different in Chicago, right. like the Midwest area. And people are like, gosh, you sure do like those, you know, foreign boys. And it's like, it's not that it's like, you know, a particular thing. It's just that there's just so much diversity out here.
Right.
We're back home, you know, everybody kind of grew up together. You
right.
know, we're LA, everybody's from different places.
Right.
So it's like, it's, you know, it's, yeah, it's kind of funny the way that is.
Yeah. No, it's true. And I think a lot of people are fascinated in India with Hollywood and America and stuff, because I can tell you a lot of people in India listen to the station, to a radio station, and, you know, looking at the analytics and stuff, I can tell. And it's amazing, you know, that people would be so far away, different culture, and then they'll tune in to see what's going on here, you know, in America. So.
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. They have a fascination for America.
Right.
It's like, because it's the music, it's the Hollywood.
Right, it's that culture appeals to mm-hmm. young people, you know?
Oh, yeah, for
and
sure.
Yeah, so that's why I think it's taken over the entire world. I mean, I don't know that there's any country, I mean, myself included, I always dreamed of coming here too, you know? I mean, I was just fascinated. I remember if someone, new neighbors or something came from America or something, and they'd have all their games and toys and bikes and stuff.
Chocolates.
And you'd go, yeah. And you'd go, wow, you know, the things they have in America.
You know? Oh, and the American accent.
So yeah.
It's like when you're in India, you're like speaking the Indian accent and some dude comes out there or some girl comes and starts speaking the American accent like, hey, what's up, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what's
and everybody's
up?
You're fascinated.
Like, you're like, wow, where did you get that from? You
and
know,
I just
like that. Chocolate or whatever.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, oh my God.
Yeah.
Where are you from? I want a girlfriend like that.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it comes from the movies, you know. I think as young kids, you know, we watch the movies with spoken in English, and that's what we're attracted to, you know. So it's really
and don't forget Baywatch.
There you go. Baywatch too.
Pamela Anderson, she like I think everybody worships her all around the world.
You know who we had on the show was Tracy Bingham. Do you remember her? She was the black girl in Baywatch. Very beautiful. And she'd been on the show a long time ago, but we had the best time, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So she was telling us about working with Pamela Anderson and all the other actors on the show and stuff. But I was never into the show, but it was... you know, I mean, what was it? Just like eye candy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it had a lot of substance to it.
I think it was probably just like the first of its kind. Right. You know, to be that public.
Right.
So maybe that's why it was, you know, as huge as it was.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, that's you know, true.
Babes in swimsuits all
blondes
the time.
Blondes and red bikinis and, you know, running on the beach.
So when you first came from India, you realized, okay, well, there's no red carpet here. Nobody's really waiting for me. And you got to make it on your own. You got to stand out. You got to succeed. So what did you do? I mean, did you eventually find an agent and everything?
Oh, yes. I came out here and... my first thing was to find a job, and my visa was expiring, so I had to join college out here so I could stay here for longer.
Oh,
so I joined Santa Monica College. Right. I studied out there for 2 years. I did theater out there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Theater.
And while I was, then I made my headshots out here because I realized the headshots back home in India are totally different than out here. Like back home in India, you can take a headshot with like on a bike, you know? No, that is how you take headshots out there.
Yeah.
And oh you gosh. Can have different looks. Like you can look like, you can have a headshot with a cigarette in your hand out there, you know? Yeah. Or you're like,
whatever the culture
is. Like how you take headshots out there is like it's a look. Okay. Like you want to be the bad guy look. So you take you wear chains in your hand and you probably you can take it on a bike or you know, you'll have that makeup in such a way that you look like a bad guy, you know,
right?
Very stereotypical bad guy. But out here I realized when I came here, it's like there's headshot out here is just someone. I mean, you should look like your headshot out here.
You should.
Yeah. So no look, no makeup. You just gotta look what you look like.
Yeah. And still people don't look like their headshots at all. You know. Yeah. I don't know how people manage, but it's. But I don't see the point in having a headshot that's so beautiful if you're not. You know. I mean, the thing is that you go in and then people go, that's not what I was buying. You know.
Yeah. But you know what? I feel it's totally ironic. I mean, people who look good in real life sometimes don't look good on camera.
Yeah.
And they don't look good on screen.
That's true.
But sometimes people who you may not notice, like, on real life, when they go on front of the camera, they're just like, wow.
Really?
Yeah. They have like it's all about photogenic, how photogenic you are. Sometimes somebody who looks really good just looks plain on camera.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. I know, but it does happen. Wow. So, so you started getting like, so you went to college. And stuff,
I went to college.
And you started to get some parts and stuff.
Yeah, that's when I got the short film which played at so many festivals. It played at 100 film festivals, won 8 awards.
Oh, nice!
And that's when I went and started submitting myself to various agents, managers, and that's how I got a manager. I got an agent. And they started submitting me for various roles, but from the time I've been out here, I've realized that a person like me out here, that's how I started producing myself also, because people have the perception of Indians to be like dark and mostly like Southern Indian.
Okay.
And I'm North Indian. So when people from North India come out here, they're more fair skin.
Right.
And they're better looking.
Okay.
So whenever I go for auditions out here, like I remember I went to Universal Studios and there was this one part, okay, where they called me, the director called me for the role.
Right.
It was for a technician, okay, Indian technician. All right.
Okay.
Of course. So the computer geek has to be Indian, right? So I go to CSI. It's like CSI New York or one of those shows. I go to Universal Studios. I'm right there on the set.
Right.
I have my headshot out there and I give it to the assistant director. I'm waiting for the director to come in. The director comes in. He looks at my headshot and he's like, I don't think we wanted him because he doesn't look Indian enough.
Right, you don't look Indian like the
stereotype. He doesn't look Indian enough. I'm like, are you serious? I come all the way for the show. I am out here. You look at my headshot and you're like, he doesn't look Indian enough.
Yeah.
Oh,
oh my
that's
God.
That's true. But that's the thing. I mean, in films they do use stereotype a lot, you know, and. Yeah, I can see where he would say that. You know, I mean, he would want, because you don't really look Indian, you know, and that's the thing. I mean, you may, you don't even sound, you don't have a heavy accent or anything, you know. So I think when they want you to know, hey, this is an Indian character.
Yeah, he should be sharp. He should be dark.
He should be dark.
Short.
And speaking funny and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a very weird experience because I thought I'll just come here and, you know, I'll just get my role and I'll. start rolling, you know.
Right.
But then that's how many people start producing themselves. So okay. I started realizing that, okay, if I want to get anywhere in Hollywood, I have to start producing my own stuff.
Oh.
So right now I'm working on my own. I'm making an Aladdin film.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm making Aladdin the actual feature film, live action film.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Ah, that's amazing.
So it's like a full-length film?
Yeah, it's a full-length film.
Really? Wow, that's a lot of work, man.
Yeah, it's a lot of
work. How do you put
work.
A movie together? I mean,
I loved the Disney version, the cartoon. I had like all the sequels. There were like four of them.
That's one of my reasons why I'm doing this movie, because whenever I, wherever I went, they were like making fun of me, like, hey, Aladdin. What's up, Aladdin?
Yeah,
like, you know, I had friends of mine. I had
like
friends
Aladdin.
Of mine from college. Yeah. I had friends of mine from college. They used to go to Disneyland. And then, you know, those guys who dress up like Aladdin out there, they used to take pictures with them and then tag me on Facebook.
Oh. Really? I know.
Seriously, though, you do. You look like the, like, non-cartoon, you know, human version of Aladdin.
Yeah, it all
like,
with my last girlfriend, I think how it started off. My last ex-girlfriend, and she was like, we were together and she's like, hey, you know what? You look like Aladdin. And I'm like, well, yeah, okay, I've heard that before. And then she's like, yo, you seriously look like Aladdin. And then that's when it struck to me. I'm like, nobody is making a movie on Aladdin right now.
Right.
Why don't I just go ahead and make it? And she didn't believe me. I was serious about it. So the next day I found a writer. We wrote a treatment. We sent it off to investors, and next thing I knew, I found an investor who was interested in making the movie.
Wow.
And now we're developing the movie. We're like getting a scriptwriter to write the script and getting a director to direct it and everything. So
wonderful.
That's
wonderful.
Amazing.
Yeah, so you're making headway and stuff, which is cool.
Yeah.
Okay, well, where can people find you if they want to get a hold of you? Twitter, Facebook, website? What do you have?
I have all. I'm on Instagram, Rockshock Sahani.
Okay.
That's my last name.
Okay.
I never changed my last name, by the way.
Yeah. It's okay. Yeah. I mean, why would you want to? Yeah. Your dad would disown you.
I have three Facebook pages. Rockshock again.
Okay.
Rockshock Sahani.
Okay, yeah. Sounds good. We'll put a link to your pages also on the website so people can find you.
So if people
actually,
wanna,
you can just Google
people
me.
People
want to
party, then you know.
Yeah.
You know what
I'm I know.
Yeah, we ended up at. I feel like we should still explain why it was a late night last night.
Yeah.
That's
true. Go
yeah,
ahead.
You can go
yeah,
ahead.
I
real
need to
quick.
Like redeem that, but yeah, no, we were at like Fig and Olive. It was like us and maybe like one other guy and like a million females.
Uh-huh.
And we like ate some food and then we went to Beecher's Madhouse. Actually,
okay.
I haven't been there in a really long time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was good to see
that's
everybody.
That's where they had pieces of ass, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yes, yeah. That's where
no, I mean,
my
that
show
was the show
yeah,
she
I was,
on
a,
on.
I used that venue. We had a show Friday night.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's called Pieces of Ass.
So that's how I know, you know, like all like the midgets and everybody that worked there. Like, hey, how's it going? Good to see you. I'm just like, what? How do you know them? I'm like.
Yesterday we had Miley Cyrus at
Beecher's
Madhouse.
Yeah, she actually was there.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Because there was mini Miley Cyrus.
Mini Miley
had, like,
Cyrus.
A midget Miley Cyrus, and she's like sitting on like a wrecking ball, you know, and they're pushing it like how she does in her music video.
Yeah.
And then the real Miley Cyrus was actually there.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
That was like a surprise.
Yeah,
a friend of mine. A friend of mine got, he went and said hi to Miley Cyrus, and Miley Cyrus kind of like said he was cute and kissed him on his cheek.
Oh, wow.
And he's like, I'm not going to wash my face for the next 5 days.
Exactly. All right. Well, Rockshock, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Very interesting
Thanks.
Story and everything. And good luck to you. All the best with your acting and producing and all that. And keep us posted on what's going on.
For sure. And, of course, you forgot I also promote nightclubs. So next time
That's true.
You can come and party with me. And I'll introduce you to all the beautiful looking girls.
Okay. So where can people find you to party with you?
I mean, you can find me on Facebook.
Okay,
Rockshock
so they
Sahani.
Just connect with you there?
Yeah, you can just connect me. Just send me a message. Say you want to party with me, and I'll
really?
Take you to the best clubs.
Wow, maybe I'll do it too. Do people my age go to clubs too, or what?
Oh, yeah, but, you know, see, it's like this in clubs. Either you have the beautiful-looking girls,
right.
or you have the rich guys spending
right.
their
money
thousands and thousands
girls.
Of dollars
yeah.
buying big, huge bottles of alcohol.
Exactly.
Okay, I'll stay home then. Okay, thank you so much.
Beer.
Okay, well, thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Thanks, Mia.
Thank you.
We'll see everybody tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for the show or if you'd like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please send an email along to sam@latalkradio.com. Sam in the Morning with Mia is a production of LA Talk Radio, where we say what we want.